This is the narrative. America is a nation starkly divided by race. The gap between black and white is growing relentlessly, and the repetitive cases of police officers killing unarmed black men are the inevitable and ugly result. The death of Freddie Gray in the custody of Baltimore police seems to fit right into this miserable narrative. But in fact, it isn't so simple. Consider, for example, the Baltimore Police Commissioner at the center of the story. Anthony Batts is black. He grew up in South Central LA in a poor family. Coming out of college, he joined the police force, where he gradually moved up the ranks to become the police chief of Oakland. In the process, he built a reputation as a reformer. In 2010, when the police under his command killed an unarmed resident, he took the unusual step of calling in the FBI to investigate. This earned the ire of the rank and file, who accused him of not closing ranks. Batts was recruited to Baltimore, where he inherited a force facing over 100 lawsuits for misconduct and brutality. As soon as he arrived, he disbanded one of the most notorious units, he issued a reform plan, and he called in the Federal Justice Department to help him turn things around. Understandably, given this track record, it's hard to cast Batts as the uniformed protector of white privilege. And the mayor who hired Batts is also black, and an equally complicated figure. Born and raised in Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake comes from a relatively elite background. Her father was a prominent civil rights activist and a powerful Maryland politician. She studied law, and at 25 became the youngest person ever elected to Baltimore City Council. As mayor, Rawlings brought in financial reforms to cut the growing budget deficit. She began to address the blight of Baltimore's notorious abandoned buildings and championed redevelopment efforts in some of the poorest neighborhoods. But her budget cuts also forced the closing of recreation centers and swimming pools in communities like Sandtown, where Freddie Gray was arrested, and where entire blocks stand vacant and abandoned. While it would seem obvious that Mayor Rawlings is a natural ally of the people who protested Freddie Gray's death, many of them disagree. Last week, I walked through Sandtown talking to residents, who revealed a deep distrust of the mayor's motives, who talked about the way she gave speeches, who talked about the way she dressed, and they were angry that she initially called the rioters thugs. By contrast, State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby is being celebrated as a hero for swiftly charging 6 police officers for their involvement in the death of Gray. Her press conference announcing the arrests was greeted with street parties and impromptu calls for her election to mayor. The police union was far less enthusiastic and attacked Mosby for rushing to judgment. Ironically, her family has been in law enforcement for 5 generations, and her African-American mother and grandfather and 2 uncles were police officers, and the union now vilifying her recently donated to her own election campaign. Unlike Rawlings, Mosby comes from the same humble beginnings as Batts, a single mother raised her in a largely black and working-class neighborhood in Boston. Her family claims that from the age of 6 she wanted to go into law, a notion that was reinforced in high school when her 17-year-old cousin, who was mistaken for a drug dealer, was gunned down in front of her own house. After earning her law degree, Mosby and her husband moved to the rundown neighborhood of Reservoir Hill in Baltimore. She soon became an assistant state's attorney, with a reputation for being tenacious and uncompromising. Her husband was eventually elected to city council. And 4 months ago, Mosby was elected state's attorney, campaigning on the city's high murder rate and chronic police misconduct. These 3 African Americans at the center of the Gray story turned the white versus black stereotypes on their head. In fact, so does Baltimore. The majority of its elected officials are black. Even its police force is over 50% black. And the policeman Mosby charged with second-degree murder, the death of Gray, he was black too. Walking through Sandtown, it was easy for me to see the protests through the lens of race. But the residents I spoke to didn't. They made no distinction between the white cops and the black cops who arrested Gray. And the mayor's skin color did not protect her from their anger. Their anger that their children had nowhere to play. When I sit down with the Reverend Harold Clark Jr., who helped bury Gray, I asked about the role of race. He downplayed it, explained that this was more about youth stuck in poverty, without access to good schools or opportunities to find work. A few hours earlier, I had been standing in front of a burnt-out corner store. When I asked a man outside what he hoped would come from this, I'd expected him to talk about justice and equality. Instead, he grew angry and he shouted at me, "What do we want? The same goddamn things you want. A job and a park where my kids can play. What a stupid question." He stormed off. And he had a good point. This is Scott Gilmore from McLean's Magazine. And this is Nina Simone singing Baltimore.
Beat up little cigar on a marble stair. Trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Run to